Spectrum One is a big deal. You get Spectrum Internet with the most reliable internet speeds, free advanced Wi-Fi for enhanced security and privacy, and a free Spectrum Mobile Unlimited line with nationwide 5G included, all while saving big. For the big speed, big reliability, and big savings you want, get Spectrum One. Just $49.99 a month for 12 months. Visit spectrum.com/bigdeal for full details. Offer subject to change. Valid for qualified residential customers only. Service not available in all areas. Restrictions apply.
Tonight, the COVID vaccine shortage is now being reported in all 50 states. January, now the deadliest month of the pandemic. And President Biden's new task force holding its first briefing. Why they say it will be months before every American can get the vaccine. And now the emergency request from FEMA. Can the military speed the rollout? The highly contagious UK variant now in 28 states. And the new alert, another wave of COVID-related illness in children. The rare warning from Homeland Security on violent domestic extremists. How they've been emboldened by the Capitol attack and what they may be planning. President Biden's sweeping executive orders on the climate crisis. His plan to protect the planet by creating new jobs. The legend of the big and small screen celebrating Oscar and Emmy winner Cloris Leachman. And on this Holocaust Remembrance Day, the survivors and what we can all learn from them in these difficult times.
This is NBC Nightly News with Lester Holt.
Good evening. Like a game of chance, Americans are finding both success and maddening disappointment in securing COVID vaccine shots with no rhyme or reason. The increased doses the Biden administration has promised will enter the system are still weeks away. And tonight, every state reporting not having enough doses to meet demand. And in many cases, reporting they have less vaccine now than they had a few weeks ago. And yet the number of now vaccinated Americans is slowly ticking up. We're going to show you those numbers in a moment. And also tell you about a new uptick in kids suffering from a COVID-related syndrome we've been telling you about. And Pete Williams will join me in a few minutes with a government warning about extremist groups posing a threat of more violence. A lot to get to. First, Tom Costello on Vaccinating America.
The challenge facing every state and territory tonight, how to get their hands on more vaccine. While the data can lag, the CDC reports a 7-day average of just over a million vaccinations a day, with every state reporting far more arms than actual doses. At the largest healthcare system in Louisiana, they're giving 70% fewer doses than just a few weeks ago.
We have ramped up a program now that we believe we could vaccinate about 75,000 people a week if we get the supply of vaccine.
In Washington state, the Kent Family Medical Practice requested 3,000 doses for this week, but got just 100.
Our three clinics treat 22,000 active patients. 100 doses doesn't get an inch into treating our own patient population.
It will be months before everyone who wants a vaccine will be able to get one.
At its first briefing, this one virtual, the Biden administration's COVID task force said it's shipping nearly all vaccine supplies. Only 2 to 3 days worth are held in reserve.
But we are passing doses directly along to states very much in real time as they order them.
That should ramp up over the coming weeks, with the White House pushing a 16% increase in vaccine doses. So far, 6% of Americans have received at least their first dose. Among the states that have vaccinated the highest percentage of residents, Alaska, West Virginia, and New Mexico. The states with the lowest percent vaccinated, Missouri, Kansas, and Idaho. Today, Dr. Fauci reiterated the vaccines do appear to be effective against the UK variant, though slightly less so against the more troubling South African strain.
It still is well within the cushion of protection. So you could diminish the vaccine-induced antibody efficacy by a few fold and still be well within the protective range of the vaccine.
Tom, we're also learning tonight that the military may get involved in vaccine distribution. What do we know about that?
Yeah, that's right. FEMA is requesting 10,000 troops, and they would be involved in administering the vaccines at 100 sites spread out across the country, Lester.
All right, Tom Costello, thanks. And this race to distribute vaccines comes as a growing number of states identify more contagious variants. And as the CDC projects, the U.S. could reach more than 500,000 deaths before the end of next month. Miguel Almaguer has the latest.
Tonight, as far away as Alaska, authorities have detected that highly contagious and perhaps more dangerous variant of the virus from the UK. The CDC says by March, it'll be the most predominant strain in the country. But before the end of January, it's already been detected in more than half the nation.
This virus is mutating, and it's mutating fairly quickly.
The U.S. ranks 43rd in the world in genomic sequencing, which is how new variants are identified. Alarmed, more mutations from Brazil and South Africa could already be in the U.S. Doctors say now is the time to double down on safety measures.
If we're sloppy, if we're not doing those things that we need to do, it will spread easier.
Adding to the concern, major testing sites have become vaccination centers, which could leave mutant strains undetected and unchecked.
After smashing record highs for ICU admissions, hospitalizations, and deaths, the numbers have slightly improved, but are all jeopardized by the virus variants.
We're plateauing, but we're plateauing at 100 miles an hour. We are not plateauing at a level of low transmission.
In January alone, our nation lost some 80,000 lives, and tonight the stakes couldn't be higher. Miguel Almaguer, NBC News.
There's new concern tonight about that rare inflammatory syndrome related to COVID that affects children we've been reporting on. Doctors are seeing a new spike in cases, and they're worried about what the next few weeks will bring. Here's Kristen Dahlgren with that.
Tonight, a warning. Another wave of children getting severely ill 4 to 6 weeks after exposure to COVID.
We are seeing more cases of MISC now than we have been at any point in this pandemic.
What was first called a mystery illness is now known as MISC, an overactive inflammatory response that can cause severe organ damage. It's killed dozens of children and is now in 47 states, with cases spiking following a rise in COVID after the holidays. The next few weeks could be the worst yet.
We are pretty concerned. We don't know what the long-term consequences of this is going to be.
Emily Ricks was a healthy six-year-old and didn't even know she had COVID. After developing severe abdominal pain, she ended up in the ICU, her heart rate plummeting.
It was really scary that first night when they were trying to figure out what was wrong with her.
Emily responded to treatment, but doctors don't know if she'll have lasting damage.
I know MISC is rare, but you just never know what child is going to have that problem.
COVID vaccine trials in children 12 to 15 are currently underway. AstraZeneca has plans for a trial in the UK with children 5 and up. In the meantime, parents should look out for symptoms of MISC, like a rash, gastrointestinal distress, and high fever. Treatments generally work, but only if children get help before damage is too severe. Kristen Dahlgren, NBC News.
A warning tonight from Homeland Security that extremist groups angry at President Trump's defeat pose a threat of more violence. Pete Williams is here. Pete, what do we know about this?
Lester, this is the first time that DHS has warned about a threat of domestic extremism since it began issuing these bulletins a decade ago. It says ideologically motivated violent extremists may be emboldened by the siege at the Capitol to target elected officials and government facilities, and that racial and ethnic tensions and conspiracy theories about COVID-19 add to the potential for violence. Security will remain high around the U.S. Capitol with fences and thousands of National Guard troops, at least until the Senate impeachment trial is over.
All
Lester?
Right. Pete Williams in Washington, thanks. Two big challenges facing President Biden: climate change, which prompted him to issue a series of executive orders today, and Russia. Let's start with NBC's Ann Thompson.
After the hottest decade on record, the Biden administration taking action on climate change, selling it as an economic recovery program.
When I think of climate change, I think of, and the answers to it, I think of jobs.
Today's executive orders include making climate change a national security priority, conserving 30% of all federal land and water by 2030, and having the federal government buy zero-emission vehicles.
This will mean 1 million new jobs in the American automobile industry.
Colorado State's Dr. Melissa Burt studies the Arctic, now warming three times as fast as the rest of the planet.
Is there any time to waste on acting on climate change?
No, we need to act now. As we've seen, you know, the wildfires here in Colorado, as well as in California. We've seen extreme drought and excessive heat in our Southwest.
The most controversial order, pausing new oil and gas leases on federal lands and waters. In New Mexico, some fear it will cost jobs, as most of its oil and gas production is on federal land.
It will shift investment of future dollars to private land in Texas, or it will the production of that oil will move overseas.
Trying to keep today's workers working while creating tomorrow's jobs. Ann Thompson, NBC News.
This is Andrea Mitchell. Tonight, the U.S. is raising concerns over the safety of anti-Putin opposition leader Alexei Navalny, whose arrest last week sparked massive protests in Russia. Vladimir Putin blamed by the West for trying to kill Navalny with nerve gas last summer, which the Kremlin has denied. A TikTok video surfacing of a Russian teen teaching protesters how to sound American to buy time if threatened by police.
I'm American. I left my passport at the hotel.
Navalny releasing a viral video showing a vacation palace for Putin, which he says he does not own. In sharp contrast with former President Trump, President Biden expressing concern in a call with Putin yesterday over Navalny's poisoning, the SolarWinds hack, Russian interference in the 2020 election, and reported bounties on U.S. troops in Afghanistan. Biden's Secretary of State, Tony Blinken.
What are the red lines under which the United States would consider sanctioning Russia if there's any harm that comes to Mr. Navalny?
We're reviewing all of these actions that are a deep concern to us, whether it is the treatment of Mr. Navalny and particularly the apparent use of a chemical weapon in an attempt to assassinate him.
The Secretary of State said Navalny speaks for many Russians and should not be muzzled. Lester.
Andrea Mitchell, thanks. Dangerous storms are on the move tonight. A tornado striking the Tallahassee Airport in Florida today, causing damage and flipping over this plane. And in the West, a powerful winter storm is bringing up to 10 feet of snow to the Sierras. And more now on the troubled COVID vaccine rollout and the difficulties health officials are having in building trust among communities of color. Morgan Radford and Julio Vicchiero with the latest in our NBC News Telemundo collaboration.
As an essential worker serving customers at a Mexican bakery in Chicago, Itzel Ruiz should soon be eligible for the COVID vaccine. But she has some concerns.
I'm just scared of because it hasn't been tested enough for the side effects.
What are you hearing from your friends and family? Are people willing to take it?
No, they're not willing to take it.
One poll found only 26% of Hispanics said they would get the vaccine as soon as possible, compared to 40% of whites. Which is why Pastor John Zayas, whose church is 80% Hispanic, is meeting people where they are.
So this is a food bank, but you're passing out these flyers.
Yeah, just giving information about the vaccine and COVID testing.
Where is some of the fear and the doubt around this vaccine?
Well, part of it is the fear of being picked up, you know, the fear
of...
If you don't have papers, because we have a lot of immigrants in our community.
And while some can be convinced...
Así que está lista para la vacuna. You're ready for the vaccine. You're ready.
Many here are skeptical.
No, no la vas a tomar? You're not going to take it? ¿Y por qué?
Han dicho tantas cosas.
They've said a lot of things about the vaccine and you don't really feel safe.
Sí, es que pues han dicho también YouTube.
So you've seen a lot of things on YouTube, on the internet that have given you doubt. Así que, ¿qué pueden decir, por ejemplo, para convencerla a usted para tomar la vacuna?
No, realmente ni idea.
There's no way that anyone could convince you to take it.
But lack of trust isn't the only problem. Out of 16 states now reporting data by race, almost all of them show a higher percentage of Latinos who are dying from the virus than those receiving the vaccine.
That's right, Morgan. Here in Florida, the gap between vaccinations and cases among Latinos is more than 20%, which is why some are sounding the alarm trying to reverse that dangerous trend.
Earlier this month, Florida became one of at least 10 states announcing plans to get more vaccines to communities of color. But Dr. Olvin Carrasquillo says it is not happening fast enough.
I get emails from patients every day. When is it my turn?
For 5 months, he's been leading a statewide outreach program through his hospital.
What would you say are the main problems when it comes to vaccinating the Latino community?
Lack of enough supply is one of the main problems, and lack of a federal plan or a statewide plan.
Hispanics make up more than 26% of the population in Florida. But of the nearly 1.5 million vaccines administered, less than 125,000 have gone to Hispanics. Some places are trying to overcome that disparity by sending mobile vaccine clinics into minority communities. 73-year-old Elmer Sinisterra is having heart surgery next month. He and his wife have been trying to make appointments for weeks.
So you're trying everything?
Yeah.
Phone calls, going physically to the parks.
Yeah.
See if you can get the vaccine.
Yeah.
Has it been frustrating?
Of course. Because we want to get it. Because we want to be safe.
They hope to get the vaccine later this week as efforts to distribute information and the vaccine continue. Julio Vaquero, NBC News, Miami.
The UN Refugee Agency, or UNHCR, responds to emergencies and provides long-term solutions for refugees. They provide aid in over 130 countries, including Ukraine, Syria, Afghanistan, and Sudan, where people are forced to flee from war and persecution at their greatest moment of need. UNHCR helps and protects refugees by providing food, shelter, medical care, and other life-saving essentials. The agency jumpstarts relief in three key ways. They transport core relief items stored in even the most remote areas of the world. They deploy expert emergency staff trained to help in crisis situations. And they transfer funds directly to support the emergency. Because of generous supporters and donors, UNHCR can scale up its response within 72 hours of a large-scale emergency. Your support helps provide life-saving aid for refugees whenever and wherever emergencies occur. Donate to USA for UNHCR by visiting unrefugees.org/donation.
It's not every day that the little guys score at the expense of the big guns on Wall Street. Jolene Kent now on how they played the game with GameStop.
Tonight, it's Wall Street's David versus Goliath. The struggling video game retailer GameStop, suddenly one of the hottest stocks, skyrocketing about 8,000% over 6 months, driven by the whims of a group of armchair investors online.
This has become a game.
What are they trying to accomplish?
Well, it started as an idea that they were going to demonstrate that they had more power than Wall Street. They had more power than the hedge funds. And it's become who is going to hold the bag last.
The plans took off in the Reddit forum Wall Street Bets with more than 3 million subscribers. The goal, stick it to major investors and hedge funds looking to profit off GameStop going down in price. Instead, individual investors on Reddit started buying, driving the stock price up. Those betting against GameStop lost $14.3 billion today alone. Commenters on Reddit celebrating, saying, "How'd you guys manage to win so big? It made those old guys drown in their tears." Elon Musk egging on Reddit users, tweeting, "Game stonk."
What's demonstrably scary in this moment is that a lot of people are going to lose a lot of money. It's the folks who are playing this as a game, as if it is some kind of casino.
We reached out to GameStop but haven't heard back, and the SEC says they're assessing the situation. Lester?
All right, Jolene Kent, thanks. And the sad news tonight that a Hollywood legend has died. Cloris Leachman starred in the Mary Tyler Moore Show and Phyllis in the 1970s and had other roles in a long list of TV shows and films. Cloris Leachman was 94 years old. And about our story last night on Sue Gandhi, who runs a food pantry for struggling families from her garage north of Chicago. Well, some of you found her GoFundMe page and have helped her raise more than $24,000 for her effort. Up next, a powerful story of remembrance that's inspiring America. Finally, tonight on this International Holocaust Remembrance Day, I want you to meet two women who are not letting COVID get in the way of sharing and passing down their incredibly important stories.
Toby Levy can never forget the Holocaust, and she doesn't want anyone else to either.
The screaming, yelling us, telling us that we're no longer going to be treated like human beings.
Levy hid from the Nazis in a barn in Poland when she was a little girl. She emerged with a determination that it should never happen again.
I have my revenge. I'm alive.
For years, her revenge has meant sharing her story with younger generations, bearing witness to what happened.
Did you learn something from it?
Yeah, for sure.
On Long Island, 86-year-old Marion Blumenthal-Lazan leads a similar mission, telling students around the world about surviving a Nazi concentration camp.
We were pulled and dragged out of the cattle cars and greeted by the German guards.
Many of them know very little or nothing about the Holocaust.
Lecture she now does virtually.
It is my responsibility to pass the legacy of the Holocaust on to our young people, because this is the very last generation will hear this firsthand.
Are there common themes of hope, inspiration, perseverance that could help all of us right now?
We all have survival techniques and skills within us. When the need arises, we just have to search for them, find them, and be sure that we put them to work.
And what their experiences have taught them is a lesson we can all draw strength from right now.
Every day I say, thank God I have freedom to walk on my boardwalk.
But with perseverance, with determination, with faith, and above all hope, one can overcome just about anything.
Some things we can never forget. That's Nightly News for this Wednesday. Thank you for watching, everyone. I'm Lester Holt. Please take care of yourself and each other. Good night.
Radio Andy.
Hey, it's Andy Cohen. Join me on Andy Cohen Live, where it's just you, me, and some of the world's biggest celebrities.
Paris Hilton.
Chelsea Handler.
Seth Rogen.
I love you, Miley. Thank you so much.
You can listen to Andy Cohen Live at home or anywhere you are. No car required. Download the SiriusXM app for over 425 channels of ad-free music, sports, entertainment, and more. Subscribe now and get 3 months free. Offer details apply.